Welcome for today's session. So we'll have presentation by Naresh Prabhu and Madhavi Mataji, 7th chapter summary presentation. But first of all, I wanted to thank all of you for making the effort to come on time. We also really, I was very anxious. Everybody is going to come on time, so I should be on time. Thank you so much. Really, I appreciate it so much. So this is a service to Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, we'll get a lot of mercy from Prabhupada. Thank you. Really, thank you so much. And I felt actually, you know, the Kirtan was so nice. There are so many loud voices. I felt we'll have a different problem now. People will start complaining. But that's a good problem to have. Instead of having one person singing all the time. So thank you very much. So I'll give the floor to Naresh Prabhu. And then so we'll enjoy a nice presentation.
Madhu? I'll get some. Hare Krishna. So, Mataji gave us this service of giving the summary of 7th chapter. So, we made our attempt. This, first of all, I just want to give a caveat or clause here saying that there will be mistakes in this. Please forgive us. And we seek blessings from all of you so that we can at least try to present what we got from this chapter. Okay, here we'll start. So, in this chart about 7th chapter, the chapter name is Knowledge of the Absolute. So, we'll try to connect what this chapter is, why Krishna has spoken this chapter. This is the first chapter, at least to start with, where Krishna started proactively explaining. All this while Arjuna was asking and then Krishna was responding back. But here Krishna started. So, in the previous chapter, the last verse, Krishna said that among all the yogis, the one who remembers me and with complete faith and knowledge is the one is most dear to him and is highest of all. So now Krishna also explains here, with that said, Krishna now tells what are the qualifications of a yogi, how can you remember him. He said that if you remember me, you will come to me, but how can we remember, that's the question we would have. So Krishna himself proactively tells, went ahead and told what we should do, how we should remember him. If we want to know him in complete, we should know who he is, his qualities, or he said with complete knowledge, who knows me, complete faith. So now here he explains how to know him completely. That is, he tells that we should listen, and his qualities like whatever we see around, right, matter, spirit, whatever. So he is the source of all, and he also tells about the modes of nature. Anyway, the point is, in this chapter he gives us some practical tips and guidelines so that we can remember him, so that at the end of the life we can go back to him. Again, they say, right, life is preparation, death is examination. So this is the chapter where at least we can see some pointers so that we can see in the life we can practice it. So okay, moving ahead, in this chapter we have six sections. The first section is knowing Krishna in full. Second section is about knowing that he says that he is the source of both. Sorry, I'm sorry, the font is a little less. I try to condense much stuff into this.
It's okay, Prabhu.
Second section. Okay. Due to time, I don't want to go through all these things. We'll just jump ahead. Mm. Okay. In the first section, Krishna is telling about the importance of knowing him, like Shravanam. Hearing about him. So in this chapter, like, we'll see, if you want to know about someone, we should first hear about him, and if you want the right information, we should know whom to hear from. We should hear from Krishna himself, then that's the best for us. We can hear from his representatives in disciplic succession, like Maharaj or disciples, senior disciples, pure devotees. And if we can hear submissively and focusedly, that's when we can know him in detail and we can remember him. And the best example of just by hearing, one can get attracted to Krishna is Rukmini Devi. We don't want to go into pastime of that, but just an example I'll give here. Okay. And if we hear submissively and if we hear attentively, then if we take shelter of Krishna, all is bona fide, then that's the best thing we can do. And then one is hearing, and then again is practicing. So if you do bhakti yoga, that means devotion service, then we can know him in full. When we say in full, it's not, there are again different types of realizations. We want to know the Bhagavan form of realization. Paramatma and Brahman are other kind of realizations, but here we are focusing more on knowing him in full. That's what he says. So to know him full, that means we should know him completely as Bhagavan realization. Yeah. Whatever knowledge that Krishna is sharing is transcendental knowledge. That is, we should know that both matter, spirit and source of both. Like, whatever we see here is material nature, energy. And we know that there is a spirit, like living entities. And what is the source of both of them? If we know, then we can understand and appreciate him completely. And in order to know that, we should be non-envious of Krishna. Like, Krishna gave this knowledge to Arjuna because he was a devotee and a friend. So at least we are not a friend, at least Krishna is not around to say that we are a friend, at least we should not be envious of him. A friend is the one who is not envious and is cooperative. So here we should be non-envious and then a devotee, only then we can hear. And again, as I said, we can hear from a bona fide spiritual master, from pure devotee, then we can get this knowledge. And if we know about Krishna, there is nothing else that remains for us to know. Because at the whole life, whatever we are doing, at the end, the objective is to know Krishna and then go back to him. So if we can know this knowledge, then that's the crux of it. We don't need to know anything beyond that. And Krishna also says that many people know about Krishna, but only few attain perfection. And among those who attain perfection, there are hardly few who know him completely. Because using our senses and all material things, we cannot understand him in full. Only pure devotees are the ones who can understand him to the maximum extent possible. Again, we cannot understand Krishna completely in all, but at least to the extent we can, only pure devotees can do to the maximum extent. Even demigods got confused. We have pastimes of Brahma and Indra, Govardhan Hill and all. Important is, at least when we surrender to him, when we listen submissively, Krishna automatically reveals. He reveals based on our nature and how much we are devoted to him and approach him. Okay. From the first section, Mataji suggested us to me to extract some purport which we felt important. I just kept it here. Do you want me to read it, or
you can see based on points. You know how many slides, based on that you can get.
Okay. So I think I'll just read it fast. To hear, this is exactly what is there in the purport. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures, or to hear from him directly through Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, act as a best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Mm. So, Krishna asked us to listen now. And he said, he is the source. Now, Krishna is telling, first listen about me, but what do you need to listen? You need to know that I am the source about everything, whether it is spiritual or whether it is material. And this is an important thing that I felt, where in this way, in the material world, we all want to remember Krishna, but it's very difficult for us to remember Krishna in day-to-day activities, because we get engrossed in our day-to-day activities. Only when we come to temple or when we meet associates or devotees, then that's sometime where we can remember Krishna. But once we go to work and other places, it's hard, very difficult for us to remember. But Krishna is giving some clues here where we can remember. When we drink water, for example, we can remember Krishna. Okay, this is the water, it's quenching my thirst, as well as the taste on it is what is Krishna. When we feel cold, we switch on the heater, for example, or we go to fireplace, then at least When we feel the fire, the heat, we can know that's Krishna, the light that's coming, the heat that we are feeling. So at least that way, in our day-to-day activities, we can get connected to Krishna and then remember Krishna. So Krishna is giving that to make us understand, saying there are eight energies of Krishna, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind and intelligence. And there are some other elements which constitute like taste, sound and all those. But in this thing, I'll just jump a slide ahead. Krishna is saying that he is present, everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit, and he is the one who created it. So if we understand him and if we feel him in all the things, then that's how we can remember him. And one important thing, at least what I felt from this purport, is though we are insignificant, we are contaminated because Maya is vast. And at the same time, being insignificant, but we still try to lord over material nature and we try to exploit it. So there are some pastimes from Prabhupada, like he said, even when there was drops of water which are leaking, when they were constructing the temple, Prabhupada went and switched off the tap. It's not because water is it's because everything is Krishna's energy. So we should ensure that we are not wasting any energy, whether in at home or even at office also, because everything is Krishna's. Our tendency is, whatever we are paying money, we are a little more focused, but there is, we are not, it's not. So at least, see everywhere Krishna, everything is belongs to Krishna, and then use it in his service. As I said again, Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the origin of the modes. He is not within the modes, that's why he is called Nirguna. Like examples Mataji gave, like in the class, was state laws and king. King forms the rules, but is not bound by the rule. Similarly, modes of material nature are controlled by Krishna. He is not controlled by them. So we should know that he is source of both. And again, no truth is beyond him. So if you know Krishna, if we understand him in complete, then there is nothing that is left. And again here, Krishna is telling, like, we don't see Krishna practically in which are materialized, but we should understand he is behind everything. So the example here is like, if you have a necklace with beads, we don't see the string inside, at least they try to cover it up. The important thing is they try to show the other part of it, but actually Krishna is there similarly behind it. Whatever the material nature that we have, if you see the planets, they are rotating wonderfully at a fixed time, even we can predict what will happen tomorrow. It's all because they have arranged it properly. Krishna is maintaining everything properly. Like, it's because Krishna's factor is there. That's what we want to say. And I covered this earlier. Yeah, another thing is, whatever that is original is Krishna. Like water, everything, for example, we cannot make it. We can only convert from one state to another state. So everything is original. Prabhupada's pastime was there about Prabhupada and Indrajit Maharaj, example Mataji gave in the class, where Charlie Chaplin's show was there. Okay. Should I just cover it? Okay, once the Prabhupada and Maharaj were in the flight, they were going, and then Maharaj was reading Bhagavad Gita and all, like, at least Prabhupada was assigned, and Prabhupada was watching this show in the TV, and then he was laughing. So Maharaj felt like devotees should not watch TV and all, right? So how come Maharaj is, like, Prabhupada is watching? But anyway, he could not ask his spiritual master. So later on he was inquisitive, so he asked the associate, Prabhupada's assistant. And then he went to Prabhupada and he found out. Then Prabhupada said, yeah, I was watching it, but I was looking at Krishna in it, because Charlie Chaplin show is the original show. So because everything original is Krishna, so I'm appreciating Krishna in that. So similarly, if you can do it, do it. But if not, let's not do it. That's all. So anyway, yeah. So again, as I said, we are exploiting the material nature. In this chapter, I felt this verse is important. While exploiting the gross and subtle inferior energy, matter, the superior energy, the living entity, forgets its real spiritual mind and intelligence. This forgetfulness is due to the influence of matter upon the living entity. But when the living entity becomes free from the influence of the illusionary material energy, he attains the stage called mukti or liberation. The false ego, under the influence of material illusion, thinks, I am matter and not, and material acquisitions are mine. So that's why we try to acquire more and more matter. Okay, I just covered this earlier. This is the next section where Krishna is the controller of the three modes. material energy is also divine. So that's why it's difficult to cross. It's complex. It's powerful actually. And these, there are three modes: mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. And these are the ones which cover us and bewilder us. All the times, all these three modes are acting. One of them is predominant over other. They are kind of fighting with each other. Like that means, like the, one is dominating over other in different days of the time. Like we behave differently because of these modes. And it's difficult to overcome these modes. And we can only overcome them if we surrender to Krishna, because these are Krishna's energies. So if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will ensure that they won't affect us. Again, the reason why we cannot overcome easily this material energy is because it is vast and powerful, and second, it is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord Himself. So it is so powerful, it is very powerful. And, Krishna, we can, as I said again, to overcome these modes, we can approach Krishna. But to approach Krishna, we approach this, his representative or the bona fide spiritual master. So we should take shelter of the spiritual master, so that at least he can help us to overcome these modes and then go back to Krishna. And another important point here is, like, even gods like Brahma and Shiva, they are very powerful. But still, even they cannot help us to overcome from the clutches of Maya. So, yeah. Only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Okay, now Krishna covered about, first he asked us to hear about him. Then he told us about that he is a reason for all the things, so that is we can remember him. So first, Shravanam, so through which we can remember him. Observation, we can remember him. He also said that there are different modes. How to overcome this, he told us, like, these are the modes are powerful, you can overcome by approaching a spiritual master. But now he says, who are the people who approach him and who don't approach him? So there are pious people and impious people. There are four categories of impious people. They are called Mudas, Naradamas, Maya Pa
Prata.
These four categories. First of all, they are, well, first is grossly foolish. Like I'm one of them. One of this category where hard working. Sorry, hardly working in spiritual way.
TCS bro.
Yeah. Hardly working for TCS, but for client. They make you work for that. Anyway, the point is, so we're hard working, we don't know what is, who we are working for. So, and engrossed in self-enjoyment. Second is lowest among mankind, socially and politically developed, but no religious principles, like our politicians and all. And then the third is, like, knowledge is stolen by illusion. Philosophers, poets, scientists, they are the people who have a lot of knowledge, but they consider God as impersonal, or they think God is not there, or they are equal to God and all. And the other one is demons, who are completely atheistic. You know, these are people who don't approach God, and it's very difficult for them if they can make it. Again, for them, one good thing is if they come in association with devotees and pure devotees, they, at least they have an opportunity that they can come close to God. And there are other four kinds of people who come to God. At least this is a starting phase when they come to God. This is how one of them, they approach God, either in distress or because they desire wealth or some material benefits. And third is about inquisitive, who wants to know, who wants to acquire knowledge about God. Does God really exist or not? They are inquisitive. And the fourth one is, he is searching for the absolute. Okay, I want to know God now, I want to reach Him, whatever. So, I just gave some examples of who among these categories. These are pious people, but not pure devotees. They have devotion, but it's mixed devotion. That's why they call Mishra Bhakti. Again, those who want come for knowledge, they are called Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and those who are for material desires, they are called Karma Mishra Bhakti. Again, these people, though they have come to God, in order to perfect, in order to improve, association is a key. For us, association is Prabhupada through his books, and then our guides, and then again guru and all. Among all these different kinds, Jnani is considered the best because he's engaged in devotional service. He's very close to, he's very dear to Krishna and Lord, and Lord is dear to him. Yeah. When one is engaged in devotional service, Krishna, and serves Krishna, so Krishna is close to him because he always thinks Krishna, he always feels Krishna in his heart, or he is close to Krishna. He always thinks of him. Krishna reciprocates, like, so if you can think, if you make one step towards Krishna, Krishna makes 10 steps towards us or 100 steps towards us. And it is only possible when we know him completely. Like recently, Nityananda Prabhu gave a small example when I was just, when we met him. So he said, if a person is sitting next to you, and if you went to a show or somewhere, the person says sat next to you, if you don't know who he is, you won't even know about him, you won't even care about him. But if someone, your friend came and said, hey, you know what, he's the richest person in this area, then your respect for him will increase. Oh my god, he's the richest person sitting next to me. Okay, good. Then again he'll say, you know what, he's the most kind person. He built so many hospitals here for free and all. He's doing so many things. He said, wow, that's really great. So I would like to know more about him. So the more you know about a person, and if you say that he has so much knowledge that you ask anything technically or like whatever your job related or anything, right, for example, or the questions he can answer, then your respect will even more increase. So similarly, the more you know about a person, that's when you start appreciating him, that's when you start liking him. Then you say, hey, let me make some friendship with him. So similarly, Krishna is the ultimate in everything. And if you can know about him, again, through all the process that Krishna is suggesting, then that's how, if you know him in complete, then we'll remember him forever. We don't want to leave him. Right now, we don't know anything about Krishna at least. We have some faith, with that faith we want to know. But if you can know him in full, then that's when we won't leave him. Okay. So that's what I said, full of knowledge about absolute truth and free from material desires. If you know about him completely, then we don't think these are all waste things. We just need Krishna here. Fine. And again, among pious people, like I said, impious and pious, and then there are pure devotees. Pure devotees are like Prabhupada here. He is the one who never forgot Krishna. Not even, he cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. We saw how Prabhupada led his life and what he did. So there, such great souls are very rare. So Krishna was telling right earlier, many come to me, but those who are know me in full is very rare, and the Prabhupada is one among them. There are such souls are very rare. I don't want to be here. Okay, I'll just read this extract. There are two things which I felt good. One is to pray to God when someone is in difficulty, when he is in difficulty, is a natural instinct in every living being, because he is eternally related to God. The reason why I just like this is, sometimes most of the people, we may or may not believe God on a regular basis. We don't even think about him. But when we are in distress, we definitely first think of God. That clearly shows we have an eternal relationship. We don't think of someone else. First thing is, oh God, please help me. That's the first thought we'll get. So that's I felt is good. Second thing is, in the 16th verse, when these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Okay, no, alas, Madhav will take care of this demo. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Actually, I don't know how to present this also. Just Mataji requested me to do this, so I am just trying my attempt. So I'll do two slides. Okay, I'm covering this. Now I will cover section 5, where Krishna talks about people who surrender to demigods and who are impersonalist. People who worship demigods are considered less intelligent. They think all gods are equal, and because they get quick results, they pray to them for the quick results also. And people, even if they come to know Krishna as supreme, they may fear. People even if they come to know Krishna as supreme, they may fear giving up worship to demigods as they think something wrong may happen. So whatever we discussed till now about demigods, worship is the wrong way. The correct way is to pray them with respect. Is that there are two ways to worship. One is right way and another is wrong way. Right way is to pray Krishna, is that please give me a strength to go back to Godhead. And another thing is, so wrong way is to ask the material desires, and considering all the demigods and Krishna, they are both are equal. And Mataji said one analogy of Chataka bird and Bharat Maharaj about worshipping demigods as Vishnu, worshipping demigods as Vishnu's agents, and gopis worshipped Katyayani, goddess Durga, to get Krishna as their husband. So here Supreme Lord, facilitate individual desires to worship demigods to fulfill their desires, does not interfere with their independence. And here, both the demigods and the living entities are dependent on the Supreme Will. They are not independent. So, impersonalist may think people with no intelligence think God as impersonal. They think Krishna has material body and his activities from
form
or maya. And also Krishna covers impersonalist with his maya potency, thus they don't see or understand him properly. Excerpt from the purport. For the living entity who desires to return to Godhead, material desires are impediment. A pure devotee of the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits desired by less intelligent living entities, who therefore prefer to worship demigods of the material world rather than engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna or his form, quality or name similarly by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sorry, if I do
just want to add one point here. We all have been, like, at least before coming to Krishna consciousness, like pray to demigods, right? The important thing, just I want to cover one thing here, is Krishna is the one who allows us to even pray to demigods. Like, Krishna as super soul in our heart is neutral, and Krishna is, and Bhagavan form of Krishna is, he actually is favorable to devotees, or he takes care of devotees. But a super soul is neutral. That's why when we have some desires and we want to approach some demigod, Krishna allows us to approach, because he is neutral. He doesn't want to stop us anything. He does not interfere with us free will there. Because of a little free will, we want to do something, so Krishna facilitates that. But ultimately, whether we go, when we go to demigod, Krishna is the one who is even giving the power or empowering the demigods to give the benediction to us. But we think that, okay, I'm getting quicker benediction, quicker benefits here, let me go to the demigod here. But Krishna, if we directly approach Krishna, Krishna may not give that desires to us, whatever we wish, because Krishna says, not what you want, but what is better for you. Like if a child is coming and asking for chocolate, you think your teeth will get bad. So give him some other things, for example. So Krishna knows what is good for us. But yeah, because of our impatience, we try to approach demigods and then seek benefit. So they say so Krishna here is telling that those approach demigods are less intelligent people. So we should avoid that. And again, we can pray them, again praying by looking at their connection with Supreme. So we know they are also administrators of Krishna. So we can then pray to them and say, okay, for example, if you are already praying to someone and if you are hesitant to stop, you can at least pray, okay, please, with due respect, we should pray them and then ask them to help us to engage in Krishna service and go back to Godhead. So we should pray like that, at least. Yeah. And this is the last section where bewilderment and freedom by knowledge of Krishna, this section is not prepared for me. Impersonalists or other people think that Krishna is also like us, one among us. But actually Krishna is supreme, a spiritual body. He does not come to this material world like similar to us. He doesn't change body. That's why Krishna knows past, present and future. Whereas we only know, we try to remember in this life only. We don't remember. Yeah. And Krishna also knows the future because as a father, he knows our nature and he knows what we are going to do. So that's how he knows what we are going to do. So we say karma is there, it's destined. It's not destined because he knows what you are going to do, that's why he can tell like what is going to happen. Similarly, even pure devotees can, by knowing our nature, they can say, okay, what is your consciousness, what level are you? So they can at least figure out and they can suggest what to do. Like Mother gave an example of a woodcutter sitting on a branch and cutting it. So the pure devotee was passing by said, you will fall down. He thinks, why will I fall down? But he fell down. So then he felt, okay, because it's based, similarly, this is same analogy, they also know, based on your consciousness, your conduct, what you are going to do, what your actions are. We may think that we are hiding it, but they will know automatically based on our, by looking at us, they can figure out. And what is the criteria? All are approaching Krishna, but what is the actual criteria? One who can understand Krishna, that is, either we have acted piously in our previous life or in this life. That's when at least we can try to understand Krishna, and the sinful actions have completely eradicated. Root cause of all the sin is ignorance and lust, and envy. So, if we are pious now and if we have all our sins have at least eradicated completely, then we can know Krishna, we can understand him. And even again with the association of pure devotees, they can help us to, and if we surrender to spiritual master, they can actually stop our sins, and at least that will help us to understand Krishna and approach him. That's the reason why when people get initiated also they feel enlightened, like joy and all this, they feel light. And but these pure devotees will be convinced that just by following Krishna consciousness, all the objectives and desires will be fulfilled. This is spiritual desires. But yeah.
Your material desires go away. So that way also you can. Material desires are fulfilled.
There's an example Prabhupada said, you don't have to try to avoid something, you just replace it. Automatically this goes away. I'll just read the extract. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. So this life is very rare, so we should utilize it. I think there's one more important point I just need to convey. the last thing, pure devotees will be convinced that just by following, yeah. One who understands this completely, yeah. In this chapter, like what Krishna is telling is like, if you understand Krishna completely, like that he is a proprietor, he is an enjoyer and the modes and all. So then if we can understand the clues that Krishna gave and try to remember them, then at the time of death, that we can remember Krishna and go back to Godhead. So yeah. Some of the key important things from this chapter are, sorry, I don't know if it is visible. So we should at least regularly hear, that's what I felt, at least from this chapter. Not only hearing to lectures and reading books, Prabhupada's, we can have Prabhupada, we can listen to Prabhupada's lectures, read his books, and also when we chant, if we hear, that also helps us. That, in fact, that is important, it's not that also, yeah. So that is what we say, Shravanam. And then, as like just like Krishna just said, like this human life is very rare, so we should make best use of it. And again, pure devotees are even more rare. So luckily we have Haridas Prabhu and Mataji and Prabhu, like we somehow take things for granted, at least I do that, because they are very near to us, we sometimes take them for granted. Haridas Prabhu, though he's giving classes, I don't go. So at least when we have these pure devotees, we should try to make use of them fully and then submissively listen. Like Mataji mentioned in the class, the best service to a pure devotee is by listening to him and then by understanding and then following the guidance. That's what serving a pure devotee or a senior devotee doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, wash his plate or give something. At least listening to him is what is the best service that we can do to them. And then again, we should to put an end to our sin and to come out of the modes of material nature, like we discussed, like we should seek shelter of spiritual master. We should think of seeking a shelter from a spiritual master and make these instructions our life and soul. If we can just follow the instructions of spiritual master, that would be sufficient to at least cross over this material nature. And again, it's not exactly from the whatever you said in the class, I'm just mentioning it here, which are important for us to follow. Radhakrishna Babu told us, like, we are not really happy here. We feel we are happy here. It's we are always miserable, but sometimes we are less miserable, sometimes we are more. Whenever we feel we are less, we feel it's happy for us, but we are not. So, and he said, like, if you are thinking selfish, then Maya will entangle you. If you are selfless, then Krishna will take care of you. So we should try to be selfless and then not go behind material things. And one more thing Mataji said was, we have been attending Bhagavad Gita at least for the last 2-3 years now, 2.5 years or more. We attended DYS, but in spite of attending all these things, still at least I'm not trying to establish my connection with Krishna. So if then that means we are not progressing. So we need to work on that. At least that's what I felt. And then Krishna already gave us some pointers, so at least we should try to remember Krishna now in all the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. And associate and please pure devotees. Mata always says this will rub their qualities on us, so, and help us progress. So, and we should avoid association of material people. They say we should give association, we should not take association. We should, when possible, tell about Krishna and all, or just don't take anything from them. Whatever is work related, if you are working with people outside, we can work with them, but not try to get influenced by them. That's what it is. And one more thing Mataji was telling was, we should make goals in spiritual life also. Like in office they ask, what do you want to be, like where do you want to be, when they are at least counselling you. But at least here also we can think that short term, okay, at least I want to do something, I want to improve my giant or whatever, right? We should have both short term and long term goals. At least if we have goals, then at least we can go somewhere. If we don't have goals, then we don't know where we will land up. And important again thing is, we should avoid committing offences. This will make us go backward. Make sincere efforts to do service. If you have done any sincere service, Krishna will take care of you. So again, like we were told several times, it's like a bank balance. It will not get depreciated. So we should at least make attempt to serve and then increase our bank balance in Krishna's bank. And yeah, if our intelligence is not pure, we go after material enjoyment and Maya will catch us. Pure, then we'll think of Krishna's enjoyment. That's when Krishna will take care of us. And again, we already covered this. Demigods, we should respect them because they are elevated and empowered by Krishna, they are administrators of Krishna. And we should pray to them, pray in proper context and with clear understanding and seek help to go back to Godhead. Sorry, I missed the word there. Remember Krishna through service and improve it. Material and sense gratificated desires, because of our conditioning, at least several million years of conditioning, even in this life, right? We get so many desires. Like my wife always tells me, whenever I see TV, my kids, like, I get attracted to that. I don't want to, but if I see, I'll get attracted. So, because Mother told several times in the class, like, we'll get these desires, but we should resist it and control it. Only then we are overcoming it. If we not, then we are giving it to them. And, she also said, Mata said this, Krishna is Bhavagrahi. So, Krishna sees our sincerity. Like we may not be successful in what we are doing, but at least if our attempt is sincere, then Krishna will, that is sufficient for Krishna. Like if you are sincerely attempting, then Krishna will take care and help us. That's it. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.